Romans 12, 1 through 5. A living sacrifice to God. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I pled to with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of his world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is such a pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I gave each of you this warning. Don't think you are better. You are better than you really are. Be honest in your evolution of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith of God. God has given us, just as our bodies have many parts and has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Thank you.
Wow. Amen. I got that text around 9-something in the morning. I said, Granddaddy, can I read scripture today? Amen. Amen. It's a testament to his mother. One day, I think, Kevin, it was you and I in the car, and Zaire had texted me and he said, hey, Granddaddy, when you get a chance, I need some help understanding the firmament. And so I told him what it meant. Tech pulled over and we texted him real quick and told him what it meant. I said, did that help you out? He said, yes, sir. He said, you know, Mama got us in here reading the Bible every day so we can be good people and make it to heaven. Amen. That ought to be the testimony of the house of all the saints. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you've ever rolled down the street blasting something with profanity all in it and your baby's in the back seat, you better correct that behavior and start blasting that Bible. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because the reality is we don't necessarily understand how that music is training our children. You in the car with them, but they having another training session, which is, you understand what I'm saying to you, music today that is promoting death and promoting drug usage and promoting mischief in the lives of young women. And I don't know, call me crazy, but I just don't see how we can be saved and allow our kids to hear such madness. Amen? Yeah. Oh, y'all quiet in here now. Amen? Y'all need a better poker shout. Amen. Sometimes you need a better poker shout. I didn't come here for all this. Sure you did. Sure you did. Amen. I've been told to be nice, so. Amen. Are we having children's church today? Is that today? Yeah. Children's church today. Children's church is open. Amen. Amen. We are. Youth church today? Youth church today, amen. Youth church, amen, amen. Praise God, amen. I just want to shout out Pastor Angel today, amen. She. I didn't win the. Did I win it? You. But you the boss. Did they? We bless God. Pastor Angel and Frank, they go all over the city actually giving medical treatment to people who cannot afford it. Amen. People that are out on the streets and they're not asking for your insurance or anything. They just want to be a blessing to you. And I bless God to be able to be connected to people like that. Amen. 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 I want to talk to you today from the topic, when all becomes more. When all becomes more. Is that Cheyenne up there? Hey, what's up, man? Cheyenne's in the house. Amen. Hey, this is the brother. Hey, brothers, this is the brother that got saved the other week, and we welcome him to the page. Can we give God a hand clap of praise, man? Amen. Yeah. Brother Mike is doing a great, great work talking and leading people to Jesus. And this is what this is supposed to be everywhere we go. How about this? We are supposed to share this great gospel. It is called the good news. And why is it called the good news? Because it means that we don't have to stay where we were. Man, let me tell you something. When I was knocked no lower than my knees and I just didn't think it was ever going to be okay, when somebody came and told me about this Jesus and that this Jesus even loved me, oh my God. And a news this good, we should never want to keep to ourselves. We should want everybody to be how we are, joyous in the Lord. Amen? Yeah, yeah. I noticed it didn't get real loud right there because a lot of people are claiming to be in the Lord, but they're not joyous. And I don't know, call me crazy, but I just think that if you're going to be in the Lord, you're going to be joyous. Now, it ain't going to be some times in your life when hell hits you from every side. But the reality is, and what we was talking about last week, that it don't make no never mind what it is that's coming up against us on the strength of who we are, but more importantly, whose we are. We have a notion in the midst of the hell to believe that it's going to be all right. Lord, have mercy. I am extremely excited about today's sermon because how it came to be, Miriam and I were walking through the trails of our neighborhood, exercising, talking, and watching nature all around us. And my wife, she didn't really understand my game plan because I knew that 6 or 7 minutes into the walk, this was going to be rough for me. Amen. So I'd say, we'd walk so far, and I'd say, hey, baby, look at that tree. Just stand there and look at it. And she's going, oh, yeah. And I'm going, and she, we were looking at the nature all around us. You know, we were seeing, you know, you walk these trails, and you'd be behind people's backyards, and the dogs are laying lazily in many of the backyards. They didn't even get up to bother and bark at us because they are used to seeing the hundreds of people walk past their houses every day. Squirrels were running and playing, in every part of the trail that we ventured. Rabbits just sitting there playing along next to the squirrels and watchful of us ongoers, but not afraid, just watchful. And after we would get a few feet away, we turned back to look at them, and they back to playing they had went. They wasn't worried about us. The trees were beautiful as they were big and they were humongous. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I myself just saw trees, beautiful, but they were still just trees. But where my wife's mother is, her grandmother was an agricultural genius. She taught Miriam many things that many of us take for granted or just simply don't pay attention to at all when it comes to nature. So they were trees to me, but Miriam, on the other hand, growing up on that farm, she seen so much more when she encountered the scene, and she began to say, well, you know, those right there, that's the magnolia, and all I'm thinking about is steel magnolia. I don't know. And she said, and these right here, these is dogwood trees, and all this right here, these are snowball bushes, and as we continued to stroll along the trail, she continued to get excited and teach me more about why this was this way and that was that way. Along this amazingly gorgeous trail, we encountered squirrels and rabbits and just all types of nature, and it was glorious. Coming towards the end of our walk, we began to pray to God together, and we began to pray about our family, about our church. We began to pray for divine guidance. Yeah, we began to pray for divine guidance as we continue to navigate in His will and not our own. After praying, Miriam began to get excited all over again about how God had orchestrated the earth. And in her excitement, she said, in the beginning, can you just imagine that in the beginning, this was all it was. At first, all this was what it was. It was, you understand what I'm saying to you. And then it was just darkness. But then He decided to create. And we're immediately, the thought that came to mind was, when all becomes more. And I knew at that very moment that God wanted this sermon to be released today. And I don't know if this will be a series or if this is just for today. He hasn't told me that. But what I do know is it is a word for today. When all becomes more. In the book of John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. The book of John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. And it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove them for Himself. He knew what they would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them. That every one of them, they couldn't even have a little. Of His disciples, Andrew, one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, saith unto Him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Now let me just stop right there. And it was really sounding good a second ago. I don't know. But don't walk around in public talking about 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. You get to talking about fishes, and you only say fishes when you're talking about the text. Amen. Amen. I'm just trying to look out for you. But barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But and all of you want to say it real quick. So on 3, we're gonna say it. Barley loaves and 1, 2, 3, 2 small fishes. It just feel right, don't it? Amen. And so, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number of 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were finally filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. I want you to understand my verbiage, my tone in my verbiage. Jesus was not a happy man at this time. He said, go back to 12, please. He says, gather up the fragments that remain. Get the food so nothing will be lost. Verse number 13. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves. Barley means one of the bread, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Before I get into this, I want you to understand why Jesus was upset. But he had
He had given a simple command, and the simple command wasn't being heeded to. He had said to do something, but in return, what he got was doubt. What he got was a lack of faith. What he got was somebody acting like they ain't been rolling with him for almost three years now. So when he says, this is what you need to do, they begin to tell him why they can't do it. In the next chapter of a different version, the Bible would go on to say, Then Jesus made them. And if it's in the King James Version, it would say, he constrained them. Now, I don't know about you, but it ain't nothing nice about the words made or constrained them. And the reason that he made them and he was upset with them, in fact, he wouldn't even get on the boat with them. He said, get on across the side. I'll see you when you get over there. Because he was mad. Why? And you're right. They ask him, why are you mad, Jesus? And he says, listen, how long do I have to walk with you before you're going to believe in me? Is that a question for anybody in the building? Could Jesus be asking anybody in here today, how long do I have to walk with you? How long do I have to bring you out of this, that, and the other? How long do I have to deliver you? How many times I got to heal you before you finally believe in me? Lord, have mercy. So he made them get on the boat. I'll preach that next week, God willing. The Apostle Paul told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. You might want to write that one down. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. See, we've got to get to this point to where we understand that if we are truly in Christ, it don't make no never mind what it is that's coming up against us, because we have a Romans 8:28 type of mentality. Then we know that all things work together for those. So as long as I understand that a righteous man's steps is ordered by the Lord, and as long as I am operating in righteousness, I don't have to be thrown off. I don't have to be scared. I don't have to be losing my mind. I don't need drugs. I don't need alcohol. I don't need a bull or a bay when hell get hot. I just need to remember whose I am. Lord, have mercy. This is going to be the death of me, but I like it. So he says this in to the Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, the key word there is all, not just when it's going your way, not just when you're bawling out of control, not just when you loved up and hugged up and all that. He says, listen, in the worst of times, you need to be the type of believer that can give God thanks. For this is the will of God. Did you hear that? It's the will of God. In other words, you ever want to know God's will for your life, then you've got to read the word, because the word and his will is the same. And when you are in God and you are truly in God, then the will won't work your nerves. The will won't run you off. The will won't scare you. The will won't have you in depression, because you understand that if God has me going through this, then I know it's for something, and I know that he loves me, and I know that if I continue to just stay fast on his word, that everything gonna be all right. Well, it's really not a problem to obey that command when your provision is adequate enough, right? But the real test of faith comes when you are asked to be thankful for just, this is all I got. You ever had to be thankful for simply, this is all I got? Oh, God. Let me take it deeper. Have you ever been thankful for not enough? Oh, God. Oh, Lord, you've worked all week long, and you get your check on Friday, but when you look at your bills and then look at your check, and you discover that this is all I got, and at the end of the month, you find out that you have more month than you have money, but you still can be thankful for all, this is all I got. Well, it seems that Jesus and the disciples were faced with this similar situation in the text. And Jesus and the disciples were attempting to find some time alone. And the reason why Jesus, and I like the version, I can't remember which book it is, but it's in one of the books that Jesus went alone. He says that he went alone, and he went alone. And the reason why he went alone was because he had just found out that his cousin, John the Baptist, had been beheaded. He had just got the word that his boy had been beheaded, and Jesus was hit. He was hit. And our Messiah teaches us a great lesson. And I won't say, because I feel like half the room has a problem with this right here. Our Messiah teaches us a great lesson, a grand lesson. In fact, if we will receive it and operate in it, when it got hard for Jesus, Jesus broke camp. He didn't watch this. He didn't leave his responsibility. He didn't dismiss his church. He just said, listen, I can't hang out today. So every now and again, some things are going to happen so heavy in your life that you're going to have to tell people that you kick it with on a regular basis. I just can't kick it right now. I need to be alone. Jesus teaches us that it's okay when hell and high water is coming up against you for you to get alone and pray to God. Yeah, some of you need to take the cape off. Some of you are driving yourselves crazy. Dog walking your body, trying to do everything all the time, be everything to all men all the time. Every now and again, you've got to break camp and just have a little talk with Jesus. Jesus and the disciples were attempting to find some time alone, but when the crowd saw them, they followed him and would not leave them alone. And the book of Mark says that Jesus saw the crowd. He had compassion, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. You know, something arrested my attention when I began to read that part of the verse. He said, but when he began to look, see, let me tell you something. Don't you ever get it twisted. Don't you think that God didn't feel like walking off every now and again? Mm-hmm. Jesus. In fact, remember when he came in and he came back from the mountain and they was talking about, we can't get to him. My son keeps doing this and I don't run to your disciples and they ain't able to do it. And Jesus looks around and says, how long I got to be with y'all? How long do I have to kick it with y'all? Don't you? Let me tell you something. Every now and again, you can get to the point to where you're like, how long do I have to? But the Bible says, but he looked at the people and it was like they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he had compassion on them. And he began to teach them many things. However, it was getting late in the evening, and the crowd had been with Jesus all day. So the disciples came to him, and they said, send them away, church folk. Send them away, church folk. Yeah, so send them away so they might go and get some food. For the day is far spent, and the hour is late, and we are here in a lonely place. But Jesus told them, you give them something to eat. Oh, God. At this point, we see the first, this is all I got in the story. First of all, they, because they have been with Jesus all day, they knew that there was not enough time for them to go and buy provisions for themselves. For if they had indeed gone away, by the time that they got to the marketplaces would be closed. Somebody in here knows what it means to have enough time, to not have enough time, but you still need to be thankful for your not enough. Mark says they said, but John identifies the spokesman as Philip, who said 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them, even to have a little. One denarii was a day's wage. Therefore, this would have been about 8 months' wages. And now the text gives no indication how Philip came up with this particular amount. Perhaps it was the amount of money that they had in the treasury. But Philip's point was, we don't have enough money to buy each one bread to even adequately feed all these people. In other words, Philip and the rest of the disciples thought that Jesus was asking them something that was impossible. You ever feel like Jesus is asking you to do something that is impossible? And then you get around a group of believers and you find out that what Jesus is asking you to do, they done. They ain't got to do it no more, but they done it. And now you know that it is possible. And you know, let me tell you, I'm going to bless you because you might not know SU, so let me just help you out. That's when you say something like, well, you know, my walk ain't like yours. I ain't been doing this as long. I don't care how long you've been doing this. If you see the same words that I see, if you see the same words that I see, you see what I'm saying to you. See, this is the thing. I want you to understand, like the men in our group, I tell them all the time, I love them. I love you. I love you. And you know, people would say, you know, Kenneth, you said, hey, man, you know, I had to admit one day I was just a little, you know, back in the day when that first happened, I was a little uncomfortable. I mean, tell me you love me. You don't even know me. I don't have to know you. See, Jesus will never tell you to do anything that he won't give you a grace to do. You see what I'm saying to you? Now, I love everybody, but I dislike a lot of people. You understand what I'm saying to you? He didn't tell me I had to like them. He said I had to love them. You understand? See, because the like is connected to my flesh, but the love is connected to the spirit. Y'all ain't hearing me in here. So anytime that he asks us to do something, he will give us a grace to do it. So when he's telling them, listen, I want you to go feed them. And he said, we ain't got nothing but, you know, 8 months' wages. He said, I ain't asked you that. I said, go feed them. Go feed them. You see? In other words, Philip was saying, this is impossible. That was the second, that's all we got. Or it's not enough. Not enough money. Oh, I really don't have to stress that point, do I? All of us know what it means to not have enough money. Amen. Y'all quiet in here. I might need to tap into a loan. Amen. But while Philip was explaining why it couldn't be done, Andrew was busy looking for a way that it could be done. And the synoptic writers record Jesus as asking them to go and see how many loaves they could find. But only John reveals the source of the provisions. Andrew reports to Jesus this: there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people? In other words, Jesus, we found something, but it's all we got. Or it's not, or we don't have enough. Oh, yes. This story is filled with it's all we have, or it's not enough. There was not enough time for the crowd to go and buy food. There was not enough money for all the disciples to buy the food to feed the crowd. And the 2 fish and the 5 barley loaves of bread were not food enough. We're not enough food to feed 5,000 men, not counting the women. And they didn't count the women because back in those days, and I'm just in sales, you take it up with management. But back in those days, the women and the kids were considered to be secondhand citizens, so they were not counted in the census. So while everybody is marveling at the fact that Jesus actually fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish, ought to be really blown away when you find out that most theologians say it was probably around 20,000 people that he fed. Lord, have mercy. 5 loaves of bread, 2 small fish. Now, when we are faced with not enough or this is all we got situations, we must guard our attitudes and dispositions. For if we are not careful, this is all we got will cause us to complain. Now, I'm talking to my men in here. I don't know about y'all, but can I just be honest? Is that all right? Can I be honest? I just like to have some money. Men, you know, I don't know what it feels like to be a woman with no money. I don't know. But I can tell you, yeah, it's the men in the house. It's just something ain't right. The chicken don't taste the same. The TV show ain't as funny. You know, when you broke, it's just, you just don't feel right. You know, and everything you want is on sale, and you ain't even got enough of the sale. And it can make you feel some type of way, amen? See, it's the thing. The women, you guys are blessed. You're so very blessed because, the husband comes home and, you know, he says, here you go, baby. You know, take care of all the bills. There you go. That's that right there. And it's cool. But say he paid the bills and you go shopping with it. And now you got an eviction notice, or you're about to foreclose on your crib, but guess who they're gonna blame? The man. It don't make no, never mind that we gave her the money for the, and she got, you know, I remember, can I talk about it? Can I talk about it, baby? Is it okay? She knows. Yeah, I'm going to talk about it. I remember one day we was living down in Richmond, and you know, we was trying to get on our feet. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I came and I gave her all the money. It was Christmas time. I gave her all the money for all the bills. I said, here you go, sweetheart, here you go. Boom, there we go. And so I just noticed that, every day that I come home, the Christmas tree, you know, it's got a lot of gifts in it. And it's getting more and more gifts. And I'm going, where is she? She can... Okay, you know, she got a hair shop, you know, so maybe she, you know, maybe she's got a whole lot of clients, but she's home before me, but it's still more, so she can't have more clients. What's going on right here? And so then, you know how us men get, we get real silly, right? Who been giving her some money? Yeah, I called my daddy. This is a true story. You can't make this up. I called my daddy, and I said, hey, I think this girl is silly enough to be taking some other cat's money and buying me Christmas gifts with it. This is how messed up a lineage I come from. My father says, and the problem is, you did say the stuff says to Stephen under the tree, didn't you? So I'm just, now I'm sitting back, you know, I'm watching her at the shop. She don't even know. She thought I'm in Lex. She's still in Richmond at the shop. I'm watching for everybody coming in there. Where is she getting this money from? Because my baby, not my sweet Christian, saved, beautiful, got my back all the time baby, I know she wouldn't be spending the money for the bills on Christmas. And then one day I come home to an eviction notice on the door. And she wasn't home yet. And as soon as I parked the car, I said to myself, it better be something from the Jehovah Witness. I'm telling you right now, it better not be, oh my God, let there be what I, and all of a sudden I just seen the gifts just sitting in that house under the tree, just, you know, just, and I went to the door and it said, you got 7 days to pay your rent or you will be evicted. And we had a righteous indignation of a conversation. We had a fire and brimstone type conversation. So I wait for her to get in the house, and I said, hey. She said, hey, baby, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing well. Yeah, good. I said, I'll hear something for you, because it can't be for me, because I gave you the money for what this got to be yours. And she said, That's what she said. She ain't trying to lie. She just said, did you think that they was just going to magically get the money some way, or they was just going to be like, you know what, it was Christmas, let them have that month off? I mean, what do you mean? What's going on here? She says, well, I just wanted you to have a nice Christmas. Well, now I got a nice watch, but we homeless. We've all been... She said it was funny because what, I'm just going to let it go right there. Hey, man, she said something just real disrespectful. She said, well, we made it. No, I made it. You was the benefit of it. Listen, I want you to understand this. When we are faced with, I want you to catch this because this is really important. When we are faced with not enough situations, you know, this is all I got situations, you need to guard your attitudes and your dispositions, because if you're not careful, you'll begin to complain. And have you ever met somebody who's always complaining about this is all they got? Oh, Lord. Yeah, what most of these people fail to realize is this part, is that part of the reason they don't have enough is because they are always complaining that they don't have enough. Did you catch that? Death and life is in the power of the tongue. The reason why many of us don't have what it is that we want is because we keep complaining about what it is that we don't got. The Bible says a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. In other words, what we believe and say with conviction on a consistent basis will ultimately find fulfillment in the circumstances of our lives. It's self-fulfilling prophecy. They never have enough because they believe and consequently speak they will never have enough. If you're one of those people, you need to change your vocabulary and increase your faith. You need to quit speaking about what you don't have and start speaking about what you want to have. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. But the more you grumble and complain, there will be more for you to grumble and complain about. Lord, have mercy. Whew. But Jesus didn't complain that the two fish and the five barley loaves were not enough, or that that was all they had. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks. That's the point I really want to drive home today. We've got to learn to be thankful even when it's all we got. We've got to learn how to be thankful even when it's not enough. You see, sometimes what we think is not enough is actually more than enough. When we begin to say things like, this is all I got, it's actually more than enough. What they had was enough in their hands, but when they placed it in the hands of Jesus, it became more than enough. I believe the difference was in the thanksgiving. No. Yeah. Because we can have some tithers in here to be coming down here and putting that tithe in, like, take it. Oh. You better answer my phone when my lights is about to come. Take the tithe. They say, take your tithe. It ain't my tithe. I don't get to see the tithe. Amen. Sometimes people walk past when they put their money in the thing, and I just start praying for them. Lord, take it off. It's going to be okay. Lord, help them. Lord, you better preach something I like. Can we have an honest moment? How many of you have put, it's been hard. I'm talking about it was rough. And you came down here and you paid your tithes, nevertheless, and then you sat down and I got to talking about some stuff that you might be guilty of, and you caught a whole attitude. Anybody real enough just tell the truth about that? One's in the building? Okay, bless God. Hey, let me tell you something. You ain't going to be taking my money and talking about me too. Oh, Lord. I believe the difference was in the thanksgiving. The disciples resented not enough, or this is all we got. But Jesus was thankful for all we got. The disciples despised, this is all we got. But Jesus embraced, this is all we got. The disciples saw this is all we got as a problem. But Jesus saw this is all we got as an opportunity. You see, often the difference between frustration and fulfillment, between success and failure, between poverty and provision is all in how you respond in your this is all we got situations. There was a time we lived in a part of town that was really hard and we didn't have any money and we were so poor we couldn't have cable. I'm talking about not even basic cable, and we had a it wasn't an antenna, but it was like one of them little, we had a DVD player, amen, and we watched Andy Griffin and Golden Girls all day long because it's all we got. But I want you to understand something, that it was in all we got. It was the smallest house that we had ever lived in our lives. We had actually went from boom to oh. But it was in the oh that we got real close. It was in the oh that we began to love each other more. It was in the oh that we got to do things that couples really don't do anymore, like talk to each other. You understand what I'm saying to you? To set back and we got side by side and decided the devil is a lie. We're not going to stay this way. Things have got to change. And I came home from work one day and I said, listen, this is all we got, but we're going to give it to the church. Now, we was already paying the bills of the church and our house at the same time. And there was many days when we had to figure out, we're going to pay our light bill or the church's light bill. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about in here. And we said, this is all we got, but we're going to trust God that it's going to be more than enough. We could have sat back and, because people think that adultery is the biggest number or the biggest reason why the Christian church suffers divorce. No, baby, it is finances. When the money is off, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You better learn how to love when it ain't no money. You better learn how to have a good time when it's Big K and it can't be Pepsi. Amen. Y'all ain't hearing me in here. Yeah. Yeah, Paul, the Apostle Paul said, I've learned to be abased and I've learned to be abound. I know how to have tuna fish, but I enjoy a good steak. Don't, whatever situation I'm in, I've learned to be content. Lord, have mercy. They don't know nothing about that, do they? When you sit in that county jail and you've been doing Applebee's and Old Charlie's and all of that, and then you get locked up, and now you having a la carte noodle ramen. Yeah. They say it's jail talk. They don't know about that, do they? Stay on the porch. Stay on the porch. And I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter your financial status, your social standing. Everybody will face a this is all we got situation. See, because you might not be talking about money. Steve Jobs was one of the richest men in the world while he was alive. And then he caught throat cancer. You understand what I'm saying to you? And he all that he had. And he still died saying, this is not enough. Not the money, but this is not enough to save me. How is it that I could spend all of my life chasing the dream to end up in a nightmare? It was said that you got to be careful. What? Oh, God. I learned this, and I just learned this recently, that Steve Jobs, he really wouldn't deal with medication because he felt like he had created his own destiny. So he said, I'm going to will myself healed. Be careful when you're doing so well that you don't think you need God. You know, and it happens every day in every church on every Sunday. It happens. Let me tell you why I know. Lord Jesus, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Sometimes, you know, they come in and you know, we watch them. They come in, you know, ladies, I got to pick on you a little bit. You come in and, you know, and when we're getting focused with Jesus, and I ain't playing, it's all about God. For God, I live. For God, I die. Then you get somebody. Then you get somebody. Anybody ready to tell the truth in here? Then you get somebody, and then all of a sudden, you know, I was gonna come, but you know, I had to, and this was going on, but when you was looking for somebody, you was for the Lord I live, and all you understand, you didn't miss a Sunday, you didn't miss a Bible study, you didn't miss a, then you got somebody, and it's what I call Christnesia. Then you forgot about who kept you in your crazy time.
Come on,
huh? But you run back to what made you crazy, from what kept you in you crazy. Then you ain't crazy. Find somebody, get crazy again, and we don't see you no more. See, is it possible that many of us don't have the things that we ask God for because God knows what we would do if we got them? Is it possible that he knows that if I gave you the brand new house with all the fixings, is it possible would you step back and say, you know, I know it's Sunday, but it's, look at the light, how it comes through the big window. It's so pretty. I think I'm just going to set her, and then I think I'm going to deal with the garden today. See, every now and again, you understand what I'm saying to you. Maybe you ain't got the truck or the car that you want because simply he understands that if it's too pretty, if it's too comfortable, if it's too big, if it's too nice, that maybe, you know, by the time we get out of church, you know, we done missed the real good sun. Let's just take a ride. Yeah. Tell the truth, shame the devil. How many of you in here done got something that you want and then missed a Sunday on the strength of it? Ain't nobody trying to put their hands up. Lying, just lying. Just lying. Listen, here we go. I got a question for you. When you are faced with a this is all I got situation, what do you do? What do you do? How do you respond? Do you grumble and complain? Or do you praise and thank God that this is all we got, that even though this is all we got, at least it's more than nothing? Uh-huh, uh-huh. You see that's the key. That's the key. Life never leaves you with nothing. Life leaves you with something. But sometimes the this is all we got, or this ain't enough. It only seems to be not enough because you misunderstand. And I want you to catch this. You're going to write some of this down. You misunderstand and therefore misappropriate its purpose. Let me make this thing plain. And this is where I want you to lock in real talk. Sometimes the all we got was not meant to be fruit to be consumed. It wasn't meant to be fruit to be consumed. Lord, have mercy. Yeah, I'm gonna say it again. Maybe the all we got was not meant to be fruit to be consumed, but watch this, but rather seed to be planted. The frustration, listen, I'm going to bless your life. You ready? Y'all ready? The frustration comes when we eat or we consume what was meant to be planted. Hold on, I promise we're going to get there. The disciples was frustrated by the two fish and the five loaves of bread because they thought that was all they had for the crowd to consume. Jesus was thankful for the two fish and the five barley loaves of bread, because he knew that he was going to use them as a seed to grow a miracle to feed a multitude. Oh, Lord. Watch this. And there are many people who don't pay their tithes or give their offering to the Lord because they think that if they do, they won't have enough to pay their bills. They don't understand the tithe is the seed, and you can't harvest a crop unless you plant a seed. Many of us are suffering today because instead of planting our seed, we've been eating the seed. And when we eat our seed, we never have enough, because the seed is not meant for consumption. The seed was meant for production of a harvest after it has been planted in the ground. Jesus was thankful for this is all we got. The Bible says Jesus took the loaves and the fish, and he began to bless and break them, and that's where the miracle took place, in between the blessing and the breaking. And as Jesus blessed it, he broke it, and the pieces of bread and the fish multiplied. I told you a few minutes ago that it's dangerous to complain, because the more you complain, the more you will have to complain about. Well, baby, it's the opposite is also true. The more thankful you are, the more you will have to be thankful for. Let me say that again. The more thankful you are, the more you will have to be thankful for. That's why you ought to live life with an attitude of gratitude. While Jesus took the bread and the fish, and he blessed it and broke it into pieces, and then he gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the crowd, and Jesus is thanking and blessing and breaking and thanking and blessing and breaking. And some of us want to be blessed, but we don't want to be broken, and you can't be blessed until you're broke, so you have to go through the broken so you can get blessed. Anybody that wants to be blessed but not broken, you deal with a spirit of entitlement. If Jesus had to go through some things, you're going to have to go through some things. You understand what I'm saying to you? If Jesus had to go through some things, who do we think we are to think that we won't have to go through some things? Lord, have mercy. As Jesus was thanking and blessing and breaking, the disciples were passing to the multitude, and the miracle took place. The bread and the fish began to multiply. I promise I'm almost done. But what I think we need to notice is that the miracle that took place, the miracle didn't take place before they needed it. The miracle took place as they needed. Some of y'all need to stop worrying about next week, if you're going to have enough to pay what's due on next week, because God ain't going to bless you with it right now. God wants to do something like show up in your life right when it's all on the line, so that when he comes through for you, you can only say, it was the Lord, and you don't give nobody else. Woo! You don't give nobody else his praise. Not the praise, his praise. It's his praise. He's who brought you through. He's who made a way. He was your caregiver. He was your keeper. It's his praise. Oftentimes, we are tempted to complain about this is all I got, and we don't see the need is being met before the need is being met. In other words, we we want to wait until we see it. Something happening before we praise the Lord, but we've got to learn to thank him in advance. Don't wait till you heard it before. Don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. For although you can't see it in the natural, the victory has already been won. It's about 10 of you ought to just get up right now and lose your mind on the strength of Jesus, because there are some things that you're going through. There's some things you're being confronted with. There's some things that's been heavy on your plate. There's some things that won't let you sleep at night. And God says, don't you worry about it. Not another minute. All I need you to do is praise me now. Bless my name now. And when it comes time, I'll bring what you need to pass.
Lord have mercy.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I ain't gonna worry about next week. The Bible told me in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33, that you know, today, I got enough going on for today. I got enough going in verse number 34. I got enough going on today. Today has its own trouble. I don't want to talk about next week because I'm still in this week. And I just believe that if he brought me from it before, he can bring me through it again. Hallelujah. The Bible says that they ate and were all satisfied. They all ate and they were satisfied. And before we go, I think we need to know who they all were. We call this feeding the 5,000, but the number is off. Like I told you before, I'm not saying that the Bible is wrong. I'm just simply saying that, like I said before, there was quite possibly well over 20,000 people who ate and were satisfied, because 5,000 was the only number of men. That was just the men. They didn't count the women and the children. Well, after they had all eaten and were all full, John says that Jesus told the disciples this: gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Woo! Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, every now and again, you got to have a gather up the fragments that remain so nothing will be lost. Just because you was able to pay it and got $20 left over don't mean you supposed to pay it and go do $20 worth of silly. Every now and again, you got to remember to hold on to the 20, because the 20 protects there from being another time that this is all we got. Y'all ain't hearing me up in here. I want you to notice how they started out. Well, this is all we got. But they ended up with more than enough. Lord, have mercy. So somebody needs to know that today, that sometimes the most important thing is not how you start, baby. But rather how you finish. If you're dealing with an all I got today, don't despise your this is all I got. In fact, I just want to go ahead and encourage you to go ahead and give God a shout right now. Because it might be all that I got, but at least I got something. It might not be like my neighbors, but God is keeping me anyhow. I don't know about you, but I'm going to take all that I got and I'm going to bless the Lord, because I understand that if it wasn't for the Lord who was on my side.
When the Lord, I'm trying to behave in here today. When the Lord takes your all and he turns it into more, not just more, but more than enough, you need to be careful with how you handle the leftovers. Don't forget to pick up the pieces. Don't just trick it all off, because sometimes we are faced with an all I got situation this time only because last time we wasn't faithful with the leftovers. And I'm looking for some people in the building that know what leftovers look like and say, I ain't gonna throw this out. I ain't too bougie that I can't eat it again. Is it anybody in the... Oh, y'all ain't got it. The Holy Spirit told me this morning, I want you to write this down. This is important.
He said the leftovers are the defense against the future. This is all I got. Can I say it again? The leftovers is a defense against the next. This is all I got. When we begin to put up what's left. God ever blessed you to the point to where you didn't have enough for what you needed, but by the time that he was done with the thing, you had what you needed and some leftovers. And see, it isn't until you've been through enough, this is all I got, that you begin to say, I'm going to store the leftovers. Lord, have mercy. My grandmother used to, she would go to the store, the meat market. We called it in Louisville, the meat market. And she would buy all these pounds of hamburger and she would portion out what she was going to cook for the week. And she didn't give this part away that was left over. And she didn't say, you know, well, I'm just going to eat this and I don't want to necessarily have to have the same thing next week. And I'm just going to throw it away. No. She would cut it out and then she would put the leftover portion. Anybody remember them big old Ziplocs they used to? The big Ziplocs, and she'd wrap it up first, and then she'd put it in the Ziploc, and I understood, and I said, Gigi, I don't know, so we gonna eat hamburgers next week? And she said, hush, boy, as long as you got something to eat, and then the next week would come, and I'd get hungry, and when I seen her pull out that plastic bag, and she's gonna pull that hamburger out, I didn't care that it was the leftovers from last week. I just was happy that my stomach was gonna stop. Y'all don't hear me in here. It's not that we don't have it to give. It's not that we don't have it to tithe. It's not that we don't have it to put our children through private school. It's not that we don't have what we need. The problem is we have yet to master the leftovers. We've yet to master the leftovers. And when you disrespect, oh God, I hear you, Holy Ghost. The Lord said the leftovers is the abundance. There's a what you need, and then there's an abundance. Oh, God. What you need, there's a what you need, but then there's an abundance. You understand what I'm saying to you? There is an abundance that you have got to tap into. That what you say, listen here, it don't make no never mind what's going on in my life. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, what I know God wants me to do. I'm going to trust God to keep his will, to keep his way. And I rock right now. All you see me is what I need. But baby, I know that the abundance is on the way. He's too big for just what you need. He's too big for just what you need. And if you're in the building today and you need God to take all you got and turn it into more than enough, I want you to come on down here today. We might not even be talking about money. Huh? This is all I got right now. Sometimes in the all I got it, it's so lonely. It's so lonely. We feel so misunderstood in the this is all I got. Anybody ever been in that season? Where it hurts in your core. Because this is all. Because of you, my cloudy days. This is all I got. I can see. It's hard to smile. It's hard to laugh. It's hard to hang out when this is all I got. And it just keeps on feeling like. It just keeps on feeling like it ain't gonna be better. It ain't gonna get better. Today, I want to encourage you that you're more than enough is in the building. I want to encourage you that you're more than enough is in the building. whatever it is that you need. Finances is in the building. He's got more than enough. Love is in the building. He's got more than enough. From brokenness to whole, He's got more than enough. Woo. He's got more than enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.